Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for joining us, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, with Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as TuneIn. So baseball is back, playing. People in New York are now wondering, what now the New York Yankees, what now the New York Mets, what now the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's bring our man Dave Rothenberg, co-host of DPH and Rothenberg on ESPN Radio, 98.7 FM in New York. Dave, we're going to start with the obvious question.
Now you don't go to your son's basketball games.
Well, that's the second obvious question when it comes to Rothenberg and the Rothenberg family and athletics. But now that baseball is back, what is your reaction? What was the reaction to your show with baseball getting a deal done yesterday to get everything started?
You know, it's funny, guys, and thanks for having me on this morning, is we were very disappointed. Like, the weeks leading up to this, and I actually started to have this, like, defense mechanism of, you know what, I don't care. Good. If they're not going to give it to us, I don't care anyway. I don't want to watch baseball. You know, shame on them. All the reactions of thinking that, you know, kind of like defending yourself, right? Of thinking that this is not going to happen. And then when I found out yesterday it was getting close, I was like, oh God, I don't want to fall in love again and then have my heart broken. And then finally, it's like it's done, and I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. I'm a Mets fan. They have so much money to spend. The owner wants nothing more than to win. This is a great day. It really is. Thank God baseball's back.
Dave, I need you to give me a 45-second rundown of what you guys covered on your show.
See, I know where you want to go here. You're going to give me a hard time, and I'm fine with that. We did a lot. We did a lot of NBA. We did a lot of James Harden. People really feel a way about his performance last night, calling it losery, which I think is a bit strong off of one game, but okay.
Wow.
We did a lot of baseball conversation, and you're leading me down the path. This is what you want me to tell you, right? I know where you want to go. It's fine. So and here's the thing. My freshman in high school, he's 15, had a rec league basketball game last night. And I told him, it's equal playing time. I don't enjoy going and watching him play, you know, half the game where he's one of the better players. I don't want to go.
You said this to – how old is your son? How old is your son?
Oh, 15. God.
You said this to his face?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went a step further, and I'm going to be honest with you right here. It's loser basketball.
Oh,
all right? When every kid on the bench has to play the same amount of time as everybody else, that's not for me. I tapped out. I stayed home to watch college basketball last night.
Dave, I have
it's
to agree with you.
That,
no, that's Bush League. It's not everybody gets a trophy, Key.
Man, come on, man. It's
anymore.
Exercise.
Dave, I'm with you, Dave.
Man,
if you're
exercise.
Good, you're going to play. If you're not, you're going to sit here and you're going to work your tail off to get an opportunity to play.
Exercise, Jay. That's all it is, man. Every kid, all little Johnnies and Tommies, they need to play.
He's 15.
Everybody's got to play.
At 8, that's fine. At 6, great. Even at 10. At 15,
sure.
When you're
not
shaving,
real basketball.
When you're shaving, you should be allowed to decide who plays and who doesn't play if you're the coach.
If you have armpit hair, then yes, I'm with Dave. And you know what?
I don't subscribe
to one thing Kia said. You know why? Because we have rankings where he's like, oh, he's the number one 8th grader in the country. If we're ranking 8th graders, then everybody doesn't deserve a trophy with playing time.
Dave, you and Jay better be glad that I'm not the coach. Better be glad.
Because you'd be one of these
playing.
Oh, that's great. You know, you're the problem. You're the problem. All right, you don't even know which direction we're heading in, but go out there and you get there on the court and you play equal playing time to the kids that are good.
That's what coaching is all about. It's not about your son at 15 years old in a spring rec league. It's not what that's not what it's about. Oh God, the parents sometimes. Free agency's gonna start up, man. What do you think the Yankees gonna do?
I think there's a lot of complaints. I don't know if you guys have heard them, but Yankees have done nothing, and we're the Yankees, and it's not fair. Yeah, wait till this is now said and done. All right, they're already having talks about maybe it'll be Freddie Freeman, Carlos Correa. Do they add another arm? I think the Yankees will be fine. When this thing is all said and done and this blitz of free agency finishes, I think the Yankees will be a stronger team than they are right now.
Always great stuff from Dave Roth. Go ahead, Key. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, yeah, that's true. But the Mets, I was going to ask you, though, about the Mets. You mentioned the Mets got big money, big pockets, and Steve Cohen. Is he going to make another splash? You think he's going to do anything to try to get this team headed in the right direction this year?
Yes. Now, you say another splash. Do I think there's another Max Scherzer on the horizon? No, I don't think they're going to make that level of splash. But, you know, you win games with bullpen. You win games with the back end of your starting rotation. You win games with a DH in the National League. I think those things will be addressed. So, yeah, yes, I'm confident that, and I don't think he cares about the threshold, goes over that, pays the tax. I don't think that's even on his radar. I don't think that's a concern for him whatsoever. So just to answer it again, I don't think you have a Scherzer-level signing, but I think the Mets will be active in this second wave of free agency now.
So, Dave, I got a chance to be in Steve Cohen's box and kind of hang out with him, and I always kind of appreciated how he's so sly. So I know you've been paying attention to the tweet that he liked the other day, mm-hmm. obviously about, you know, what's happening with the MLB and would ever accept an offer from an MLBPA. And then he tweets out again. How does this Twitter thing work? Is this what baseball needs? Do they need an owner who is willing to stir it up and create some kind of talk around the sport?
Isn't that great?
Yes.
I think it's great. I you know, the same way that I look at this whole Brooklyn and Philadelphia thing. This is going to be a rivalry. This is going to be a saga. I think it's great. I think anytime there are people that are polarizing, and that's what Steve Cohen is, and that's what he's going to be. And think about this now for a second. The Yankees have always been the big fish, and the Yankees have always had more money than the Mets, and the Wilpons lost so much money with the Madoff situation. And now, all of a sudden, the Mets are going to have more money than the Yankees. So that's going to be great, and it's also going to start to get the Yankees fans agitated. Why are the Mets spending, you know, $280 million, and we're at $230? They're a bigger market team than we are. Not right, not fair. It's going to cause tension, friction, which for us in sports talk radio, is perfect.
No doubt about that. Dave Rothenberg always doing a great job, part of ESPN New York 90.7 FM, part of DPF. Joe Rothenberg joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, with Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Freddie Coleman, and for Max Kellerman. Fans this morning on your show were calling James Harden's performance, and I want to make sure I get this word right, losery, which I've never heard before in my life. How would you describe what you saw last night from James Harden losing to the Brooklyn Nets?
A bad performance. He was not good in this game last night. But, I again, we get so focused, and this is what we do, right? Like, we're so focused on the immediate. We're so focused on what just happened this past second that now all of a sudden you look at it and James Harden is just – they were 5-0. They had a bad game. He was not good. No, he'll tell you he wasn't good. Now, I don't agree with him. I don't know if you guys heard the audio of him saying, you know, a loss like this can be good for us. I don't think a loss like that is good for anybody. You don't want to be embarrassed at home. See, it felt to me like Brooklyn was like, all right, we're going to play this game and get out of our way. And they embarrassed Philadelphia. So it was a tough moment for James Harden. I'll reserve judgment. I think maybe you look a little differently on Philadelphia and Harden today than you did yesterday, but we're such prisoners of the moment. Let's see how this thing plays out.
Well, you know
what,
though, Dave? I feel like from somebody who studied James Harden, I'm big into mannerisms and body language, right? One of the things, like, I'm still waiting to see from him is, like, a ferocious roar, like an angered roar. And I know that may not be his style, but now that we actually have a rivalry in the NBA, right? Like, last night felt like the Super Bowl for the NBA. Like, okay, due to the amount of attention it got on social media between Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid barking, between Kyrie Irving, you know, being pushed around, it felt like it was personal for the Brooklyn Nets. It didn't feel like it was personal for James Harden. It felt more like, yeah, I'm just out here and I'm James Harden and I'm coasting. It didn't, and that's always my concern about him. Where is the attack, the dog, like, to go get it? I don't know. Does he have that?
No, that's not who he is. Now, I don't think that means that he doesn't want to win. I think he does want to win. But, I mean, listen, does Aaron Rodgers have that? I think Aaron Rodgers really wants to win, but you don't look at Aaron. I mean, he's Mr. Relax, right? I think James Harden is of that same mold where not everyone shows it the same way. And I agree with you. Like, you know, wear your emotions on your sleeve, go crazy, dig down, fiery, all that. That's not who he is. That's not his DNA. It's not who he is.
Either way, whatever that is, he better figure it out, because they go another ringless year when it comes to James Harden. At least Aaron Rodgers has one of those. Can't say the same thing about James Harden. Hey, Dave, always appreciate your brother. Thanks a lot, and keep knocking it out, okay, while your son's basketball game.
Send me the text, Dave. Call me in as an assistant coach. I'm ready to go.
I'll text you later today, Jay. Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy.
Dave Rothenberg, co-host of DPS to Rothenberg. Wow.
I love Dave.
On ESPN
He's
Radio 98.7 New York. Joining us here on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as tuning in. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets and how they handle the Philadelphia 76ers and the return of Ben Simmons, who did not play in that game, although he was cheesing on the sidelines with his new team, beating up on his old team. Kevin Durant was on TNT last night after having a double-double. Check out what he had to say about winning on what turned out to be Boo Ben Simmons night in Philadelphia.
He already knew we had his back, but it just felt good to quiet all of them down midway through the game. And, you know, it was very quiet towards the end. We ain't hear no more Ben Simmons chants from the Sixers fans. There was more Nets fans in here than anything, so it was good.
Oh, look at that. And now we have on our line, we have Kendrick Perkins. KP, how you doing, brother?
Boo!
Yo!
Did I hear correct? Did you get pulled over this morning? Are you okay?
No, I'm not in jail, but I was, you know what I'm saying? I was driving, you know, 5-10 miles over the speed limit, okay. You know?
So you wasn't, in other words, you were not following the law?
I never follow rules. That's the cold thing about it.
Because license and registration, sir.
Exactly.
Did you keep your hands on the steering wheel? Did you keep them at
10 and 2?
Yes.
Hey, I had both of my hands out the window.
Yeah, okay. Number one, smart. Yeah.
We know that.
Number one, smart. Number two, this way we'd have to call you Ricky Bobby from now on. So that's always a good thing, Perk, from that standpoint, okay?
Big Perk, so let's get it.
Wow, you guys are savage. Savage.
Are you talking to us on the Bluetooth, Big Perk?
Savage.
Hey, Jay, there's a lot going on right now, man.
I hear the blinker lights going up, turn signals on. It's a lot going on right now, and I need more of it.
Bad
I love
perk,
it.
Bad Perk.
Speaking what of a lot going on, Perk, what were your thoughts last night of the blowout at the Wells Fargo Center?
You know what? It was a lot to take away from that game. I thought the Nets played well. But, you know, I expected the Nets to win that game because I expected KD and Kyrie to take it personal towards James Harden. And I expected Seth Curry and Andre Drummond to go out there and do what they did. You know, you know how it is when a team play a team that just traded them. They always want to make them realize or make them remember what they lost and things to that nature. My biggest takeaway was Kyrie Irving. And I've seen Kyrie Irving have some special moments offensively, whether that was dropping a 50-piece or him going for, you know, 20-plus in one quarter or whatever the case may have been. But last night, what he did to James Harden was assault, okay? Assault and battery. I mean, he set the tone from the jump, picking him up 94 feet, guarding him, telling Seth Curry, don't switch. And what he did was, all the rumors that we heard about them going at it at practice and things of that nature, and Kyrie telling them he's washed or he's trash, he confirmed that last night. And I will say this about Kyrie Irving. He gained a whole nother level of respect from me the way that he approached that game defensively.
So, Perk, like, that's my thing. Like, Kyrie, it looked like it was personal for Kyrie guarding James Harden, the full length of the court. It looked like it was personal for Kevin Durant after trying to take a charge on Joel Embiid, barking back at him, be like, yo, this ain't happening today. You don't know who I am, right? The one person it didn't look personal for was James Harden. What's going on there?
You know what? I don't know, because it seems to me like he had the I don't care attitude. And I think Kyrie Irving just snatched his soul. Like, he wasn't expecting that type of intensity. I mean, I don't know why he wasn't expecting it, but the way that Kyrie just jumped on him is like he completely took James out of the game as far as from a mental aspect. But James Harden, he really has to stop this. Like, you know, in these big moments in his past history, you know, when it's time for him to step up and, you know, show some pride not from the team that he's representing, just as a man, he has shied away from the moment and laid down on too many occasions. Now, I don't want to overreact to one game, not to one regular season game. Like, I don't want to do that because he has been great since he arrived in Philly, and people could say, oh, he was playing the Knicks. Well, the Knicks just blew out the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And the Philadelphia 76ers also just beat the Chicago Bulls, who's one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. But I will say, James Harden, he has a way. He has shown us too many times that when the big light, when it's time for him to step up in those big moments, that he shies away, and that's very disturbing to me.
Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst and 2008 NBA champion with the Boston Celtics, are joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and Freddie Coleman is in for Max this morning. KP, you got a chance to watch that game last night. Clearly, the Nets took care of business in blowing out the Sixers. Are they for real, and how far can they go?
You know what? Let me say this, Keith. The East is so wide open that obviously when Kevin Durant is playing the way that he played last night, obviously the ceiling is high, right? But I still need to see more from the Nets. Like, it got to be more consistency there because let's remember, they just got a smackdown when they went to the Boston Garden a few games ago with Jason Tatum hung 56 on them. So, you know, I still need to see more, and we still need to, you know, it's still floating out there if Kyrie Irving is going to be part-time or full-time. That matters this year because the Eastern Conference is that damn good that I don't believe that a part-time Kyrie can help the Nets get out of the East. They need him full-time. But if they get him full-time and they're the underdogs playing the way that they play, I think even without Ben Simmons, the Nets still have a great opportunity of making it out of the Eastern Conference.
You mentioned, Perk, that you wanted to see more from the Brooklyn Nets other than Kyrie Irving being a full-time player. What more do you want to see?
You know what? I still need to see more from their bigs, right? Like, I need to see more from Andre Drummond and Claxton because those two have been inconsistent, especially in the pick-and-roll coverages. Like, you know, I need to see more protection of the paint. Like, do we expect Kyrie Irving to go out there and guard night in and night out the way he did on the perimeter? And do we expect Kevin Durant to kind of somewhat anchor the defense throughout the course of, you know, the playoffs, having to bang and having to do so much offensively? I don't think so. But guys like Bruce Brown and James Johnson, Seth Curry, I think those are the guys that are going to have to elevate their game for the Brooklyn Nets on a consistent basis. Now, look, this is one thing I feel like the league should be scared and aware of. I think the Brooklyn Nets were trying to find themselves. And I think the energy that the Philadelphia 76ers fans gave towards Ben Simmons, that rallied them and made them come together. And I think this could be the start of a new beginning. Like, a team could build off of this as far as their chemistry, far as their togetherness and everything else. Like, they went out there and played hard, one, to get at James, but two, to have Ben Simmons back. Mm-hmm. So when you see a team like that and they come together, that's all it takes is that one game for them to start to take off.
2008 NBA champion with the Boston Celtics, ESPN NBA analyst. My brother Kendrick Perkins joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Perk, I have an admission to people. I called you yesterday, and it's hard for me because I'm not jumping off the train, but I feel like I'm thinking about it really, really hard. LeBron James not taking the final shot. I know he's age 37. I know he has a lot of wear and tear on the legs, but him not taking the final shot the other night and losing to Houston, what does that make you think about LeBron James and the GOAT conversation?
Jay, I mean, I'm not jumping off the train, but it doesn't make LeBron look good, and it doesn't help his case for the GOAT conversation. And this is why people doubt him. See, my whole problem is this, and you and I talked about this. I believe that LeBron James should just embrace and accept being the best all-around basketball player this game has ever seen. But when he goes on his show, The Shop, and says that the media and people out there don't give him enough credit for being a great scorer, and you come out there against the Rockets and you have a chance to take the last shot or last layup and you pass it up, this is the reason why we don't put you in the conversation as a great scorer. Now, look, he's probably going to pass Kareem next year as far as the all-time, you know, leading scorer in NBA history, but it's levels to it. Like, we know that guys like Kevin Durant is not passing up that layup. We know that Kyrie Irving is not passing up that layup. We know the great Kobe Bryant wasn't passing up that layup. And I mention those three guys because we put those guys in that conversation for as greatest scorers to ever play the game because they have a go-get-bucket mentality. And it's not a knock on Braun, but it just makes him look, you know, a little bad when he goes and says that and then show up a couple of nights later and do what he did against the Houston Rockets. I think he just need to embrace being – the best all-around player. Like, don't even worry about that scoring part of it because, I mean, he has the numbers, obviously, but it's just a different mentality. But I'm not jumping off the GOAT train yet because, you know, his resume is still longer than a Chick-fil-A line. You know what I mean?
No doubt about that. Max. Always a pleasure, Perkins. Stay safe, Ricky Bobby, okay?
License and registration, sir. Please. Put your hands on the dashboard.
Talk to you soon, brother.
I understand.
Thanks,
stop talking. Right. License and registration.
Right. Sir, I'm going to step out of the vehicle, sir.
Jeez.
Give me your insurance. You have insurance?
He's going to kill us the next time
he sees
us.
How come your tail light's busted?
We've all been there.
Yes, we have. Some sooner than others. Kendrick Perkins joining us here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Don't forget about Jason Tatum. He has been averaging 45 points per game over the last three games. Sellers are hoping he can stay in the zone on Sunday when they take on the Dallas Mavericks. Get in the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. With Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams. I'm Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. 3 days in a row, a gigantic trade helping the National Football League stay the biggest, baddest boy in the jungle. Once again, this latest trade has us talking about the best division in football. That's next on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He's Keyshawn Johnson. He's Jay Williams. I'm Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and tune in. And, Key, I'll start with you on this one when it comes to Khalil Mack back in the AFC West. Now, I remember the Los Angeles Chargers. He joins Joey Bosa. He joins Derwin James. He joins that team that was almost a tie away from getting into the playoffs last year when it comes to the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm not going to ask about the expectations, but I firmly believe that whatever has ailed him the last couple of years, by not playing a lot of snaps, he's going to be a fresher guy and a more effective guy with the Chargers, especially in 2022.
Yeah, he will be. And I think when you look at pairing him with a Joey Bosa, much like a Von Miller with an Aaron Donald and a Leonard Floyd, you give an opportunity for a guy to really show his stuff. And when you're injured sometimes – you don't have an opportunity to show your stuff. And I think Khalil Mack has plenty of gas left in the tank. Some would say, oh, that the Raiders got the best of the trade now. But that's okay. All that's behind him. He gets an opportunity to go with Brandon Staley, a defensive-minded head coach who knows what he needs to do in order to have an opportunity to make a strong push in the AFC West. Now, look, you said that they could have gone to the playoffs. All they needed was a tie, which is correct and true. But if their coach wasn't making some boneheaded decisions on certain downs and distances and going forward, listening to analytics, they wouldn't have never been in that position to begin with.
Well, let's bring in another guy playing in the NFL like Keyshawn Johnson. He played on the defensive side of football, now part of Chris Canty, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Our man Chris Canty is here.
CC.
Yeah, CC in the building when he joins here, Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Chris, you heard what Keyshawn had to say about Khalil Mack's new effectiveness going to his new team. What does this trade, getting him from the Bears, really mean for the AFC West involving the Los Angeles Chargers?
Well, it's an arms race, and it makes sense for the Chargers because you got Justin Herbert on a rookie deal. Well, we know that's probably going to last all of one more season, but it seems like it makes sense to take full advantage of it. Go ahead and make the deal for Khalil Mack. It doesn't cost you a ton in the way of draft capital, a second-round pick and a third-round pick in 2023, but if you look at it, you get to pair Joey Bosa with another dominant edge rusher that can consistently win one-on-one pass rush situations. And for a team that's as explosive on the offensive end as the Chargers are, you got to imagine they're going to be playing a lot of sub packages, a lot of nickel and dime coverages because they're going to be playing with the lead. And you got to have a pass rush to be able to make that coverage effective. So I love the move, getting Khalil Mack. I can't help but think that there was a part of the Los Angeles Chargers brass that looked at what the quarterbacks are in the AFC West and said, you know what, we got to have guys that can consistently affect the opposing quarterback, and that's why they made that move for Khalil Mack.
Well, CeCe, since you call it an arms race and Khalil Mack kind of sets the market to a degree, what about a Chandler Jones? I mean, are any teams in AFC West looking at getting a guy like that to help with the pass rush?
Well, yeah, the Denver Broncos are the one that comes to mind. I mean, certainly they've got a few free agents on the defensive side of the ball. There's an opportunity for Nathaniel Hackett and George Payton to reshape what that defense looks like. Now, I'm one of those in the camp of potentially taking a long, hard look at trying to bring in Bobby Wagner, getting him to follow Russ from Seattle, just because their two inside linebackers are both unrestricted free agents. So that would make a whole lot of sense. But also Chandler Jones, being able to add him to the group with Draymond Jones and Malik Reed, that would make a ton of sense too. Bradley Chubb as well. So, I mean, you can never have enough pass rushers, and it seems like that's the division that's going to place even more of a premium on guys that can get after the quarterback, because you are talking about the best collection of quarterbacks in any division in all of football.
Canty, what would that defense look like with Chubb and Reed and Chandler Jones and a Von Miller coming back to the party, Bobby Wagner? What would that defense look like? Would it look old, or would it just be some ballers that got some stuff left in it?
Well, Key, they ain't getting all of those guys. But I'll say this. the biggest thing is, as a guy on the defensive side of the ball, you want to know, is there somebody under center that we feel like we can win a chip with? And for the first time in a long time, since Peyton Manning, the guys on the defensive side of the ball for the Denver Broncos know they got a guy that can win a chip. And that's huge in terms of the overall mentality that guys approach that with. Now, all of a sudden, the Denver Broncos are a free agent destination for veterans that are ring chasing. So I think this is an outstanding get for John Elway. He's shown the ability to be able to land the big fish in free agency time and time again. This is an organization that knows what to do when they get that mercenary, that hired gun at the quarterback spot. And so I look for them to be a true title contender. But, and Vegas backs my play because Vegas has them as the third best odds to win the conference and the fourth best odds to win the whole damn thing.
Canty, why couldn't they get them all? The Hoop would only one of want big money, right? Chandler, the other dudes, Bobby. I mean, that's a friendly deal if he doesn't go back to Seattle. And I would think Von Miller would be a pretty friendly deal. And Chubb is already, and Reed are already there.
I don't know about that, Key. I don't know if Bobby Wagner is doing any favors for anybody. Seattle saved $16 million against the cap by cutting him. I mean, this is a guy that's still playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
no
even
question.
All-Pro level. So I don't know that he's going to be giving team-friendly discounts. There are going to be a lot of teams that are lining up to throw a ton of money Bobby Wagner's way.
Yeah, that's true.
Chandler Jones, it's an interesting case. I'm not sure that every single team around the National Football League is going to be hot after him just because there have been some issues with him in the past. And then with Von Miller, yeah, he could go back to Denver, but he's pretty good where he's at right now. And both sides seems like they have mutual interest in running that back. So when looking at the free agent pass rusher landscape, I mean, it's usually slim pickings, but this is also a really good draft for defensive ends / outside linebackers. I mean, you're going to have the top two rounds flooded with that position. So there's an opportunity for the Broncos to add depth in that way if they don't land a guy in free agency.
Super Bowl champion, former Giants DE Chris Canty joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. CC, Dan Orlowski the other day has stated that over the next five seasons, he'd rather have Russell Wilson than Justin Herbert. Where do you stand on that?
Well, Russell Wilson's proven that he can get his team to the playoffs and win a championship. Justin Herbert hasn't. So, I mean, that's where I stand on that. I mean, we hear about this potential that Justin Herbert has, but as Keyshawn knows, our former coach Bill Parcells used to always say, potential just means you haven't done it yet. So we're still waiting on Justin Herbert's potential to be realized in the way of his team being able to do high-level winning. I mean, he has all of the tools. I mean, he's right there with quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen in terms of dominant traits, but it's just a matter of the team being able to put that all together, and that's why I think this organization is operating with a little more urgency now because they recognize the value of Justin Herbert. There is no more valuable commodity than having a starting quarterback on a rookie deal. They're trying to take full advantage of it coming up in 2022.
So what do you think about the potential, Mitch Trubisky maybe being a Giants quarterback?
Man, I'll say this. I mean, it feels like it's a hedge against Daniel Jones, but have we seen anybody in the NFL fail up like Mitch Trubisky? I mean, have we seen it?
But come on,
Have we seen Daniel? I'm just saying, man. The guy, I mean, wow. one year holding the clipboard for Josh Allen with Brian Daboll, and all of a sudden this guy's supposed to be the second coming. I'm not trying to disparage Mitch Trubisky. I think it'd be a great fit with the Giants because it's a head coach that knows him. It's a general manager that was a part of the regime that brought him in from Chicago to try to revive his career. He's going to be familiar with the offense. And from a skill set perspective, it's very similar to what Daniel Jones brings to the table. So in terms of what your offense looks like and how Brian Daboll calls plays, there wouldn't be much of a change, much of an adjustment for the rest of the guys on the offense if you go from Mitch Trubisky to Daniel Jones or vice versa. But this, in my mind, is a hedge against Daniel Jones. This is the bar to clear for Daniel Jones. If he can't beat out Mitch Trubisky for the starting job, then I think the Giants have their answer as to what their franchise quarterback is going to be. But this move also lets me know that the Giants have no intention of picking up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option. So this will be a true contract year for the former sixth overall pick.
Man, you hard on Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Key, where's the lotto? Where the lotto, Key? Help me out, man. What am I missing?
You're not missing anything.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Freddie. I appreciate it.
I got your back, brother. I got your back, daddy. Always good to talk to you, Chris. Take care, my brother.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, see you.
Great stuff by Chris Canty, Super Bowl champion, also playing the NFL like Keyshawn Johnson, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. And despite what happened in the Philadelphia 76ers last night, many people believe that they're still going to get to the finals. Or do they?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
He's Keyshawn Johnson, he's Jay Williams, and Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman, and Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and tune in. And Key, I'll start with you on this one when it comes to Khalil Mack, back in the AFC West. Now, remember the Los Angeles Chargers. He joins Joey Bosa. He joins Derwin James. He joins that team that was almost a tie away from getting into the playoffs last year when it comes to the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm not going to ask about the expectations, but I firmly believe that whatever has ailed him the last couple of years, by not playing a lot of snaps, he's going to be a fresher guy and a more effective guy with the Chargers, especially in 2022.
Yeah, he will be. And I think when you look at pairing him with a Joey Bosa, much like a Von Miller with an Aaron Donald and a Leonard Floyd, you give an opportunity for a guy to really show his stuff. And when you're injured sometimes, you don't have an opportunity to show your stuff. And I think Khalil Mack has plenty of gas left in the tank. Some would say, oh, that the Raiders got the best of the trade now, but that's okay. All that's behind him. He gets an opportunity to go with Brandon Staley, a defensive-minded head coach who knows what he needs to do in order to have an opportunity to make a strong push in the AFC West. Now, look, you said that they could have gone to the playoffs. All they needed was a tie, which is correct and true. But if their coach wasn't making some boneheaded decisions on certain downs and distances and going forward, listening to analytics, they wouldn't have never been in that position to begin with.
Well, let's bring in another guy playing in the NFL like Keyshawn Johnson. He played on the defensive side of football, now part of Chris Canty, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Our man Chris Canty is
CC.
Here. Yeah, CC in the building when he joins here, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Chris, you heard what Keyshawn had to say about Khalil Mack's new effectiveness going to his new team. What does this trade, getting him from the Bears, really mean for the AFC West involving the Los Angeles Chargers?
Well, it's an arms race, and it makes sense for the Chargers because you got Justin Herbert on a rookie deal. Well, we know that's probably going to last all of one more season, but it seems like it makes sense to take full advantage of it. Go ahead and make the deal for Khalil Mack. It doesn't cost you a ton in the way of draft capital, a second-round pick and a third-round pick in 2023, but if you look at it, you get to pair Joey Bosa with another dominant edge rusher that can consistently win one-on-one pass rush situations. And for a team that's as explosive on the offensive end as the Chargers are, you got to imagine they're going to be playing a lot of sub packages, a lot of nickel and dime coverages, because they're going to be playing with the lead. And you got to have a pass rush to be able to make that coverage effective. So I love the move, getting Khalil Mack. I can't help but think that there was a part of the Los Angeles Chargers brass that looked at what the quarterbacks are in the AFC West and said, you know what, we got to have guys that can consistently affect the opposing quarterback, and that's why they made that move for Khalil Mack.
Well, CeCe, since you call it an arms race and Khalil Mack kind of sets the market to a degree, what about a Chandler Jones? I mean, are any teams in AFC West looking at getting a guy like that to help with the pass rush?
Well, yeah, the Denver Broncos are the one that comes to mind. I mean, certainly they've got a few free agents on the defensive side of the ball. There's an opportunity for Nathaniel Hackett and George Payton to reshape what that defense looks like. Now, I'm one of those in the camp of potentially taking a long, hard look at trying to bring in Bobby Wagner, getting him to follow Russ from Seattle, just because their two inside linebackers are both unrestricted free agents. So that would make a whole lot of sense. But also Chandler Jones, being able to add him to the group with Draymond Jones and Malik Reed, that would make a ton of sense too. Bradley Chubb as well. So, I mean, you can never have enough pass rushers, and it seems like that's the division that's going to place even more of a premium on guys that can get after the quarterback, because you are talking about the best collection of quarterbacks in any division in all of football.
Canty, what would that defense look like with Chubb and Reed and Chandler Jones and a Von Miller coming back to the party, Bobby Wagner? What would that defense look like? Would it look old, or would it just be some ballers that got some stuff left in it?
Well, Key, they ain't getting all of those guys. But I'll say this. the biggest thing is, as a guy on the defensive side of the ball, you want to know, is there somebody under center that we feel like we can win a chip with? And for the first time in a long time, since Peyton Manning, the guys on the defensive side of the ball for the Denver Broncos know they got a guy that can win a chip. And that's huge in terms of the overall mentality that guys approach that with. And now all of a sudden, the Denver Broncos are a free agent destination for veterans that are ring chasing. So I think this is an outstanding get for John Elway. He's shown the ability to be able to land the big fish in free agency time and time again. This is an organization that knows what to do when they get that mercenary, that hired gun at the quarterback spot. And so I look for them to be a true title contender. But, and Vegas backs my play, because Vegas has them as the third best odds to win the conference and the fourth best odds to win the whole damn thing.
Canty, why couldn't they get them all? Though? Who would only one would want big money, right? Chandler. The other dudes, Bobby, I mean, that's a friendly deal if he doesn't go back to Seattle. And I would think Von Miller would be a pretty friendly deal. And Chubb is already, and Reed are already there.
I don't know about that, Key. I don't know if Bobby Wagner is doing any favors for anybody. Seattle saved $16 million against the cap by cutting him. I mean, this is a guy that's still playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
no
even
question.
All pro level. So I don't know that he's going to be given team-friendly discounts. There are going to be a lot of teams that are lining up to throw a ton of money Bobby Wagner's way.
Yeah, that's true.
Chandler Jones, it's an interesting case. I'm not sure that every single team around the National Football League is going to be hot after him, just because there have been some issues with him in the past. And then with Von Miller, yeah, he could go back to Denver, but he's pretty good where he's at right now. And both sides seems like they have mutual interest in running that back. So when looking at the free agent pass rusher landscape, I mean, it's usually slim pickings, but this is also a really good draft for defensive ends / outside linebackers. I mean, you're going to have the top two rounds flooded with that position. So there's an opportunity for the Broncos to add depth in that way if they don't land a guy in free agency.
Super Bowl champion, former Giants DE Chris Canty joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. CeCe, Dan Orlovsky the other day has stated that over the next five seasons, he'd rather have Russell Wilson than Justin Herbert. Where do you stand on that?
Well, Russell Wilson's proven that he can get his team to the playoffs and win a championship. Justin Herbert hasn't. So, I mean, that's where I stand on that. I mean, we hear about this potential that Justin Herbert has, but as Keyshawn knows, our former coach Bill Parcells used to always say, potential just means you haven't done it yet. So we're still waiting on Justin Herbert's potential to be realized in the way of his team being able to do high-level winning. I mean, he has all of the tools. I mean, he's right there with quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen in terms of dominant traits, but it's just a matter of the team being able to put that all together. And that's why I think this organization is operating with a little more urgency now, because they recognize the value of Justin Herbert. There is no more valuable commodity than having a starting quarterback on a rookie deal. They're trying to take full advantage of it coming up in 2022.
So what do you think about the potential, Mitch Trubisky maybe being a Giants quarterback?
Man, I'll say this. I mean, it feels like it's a hedge against Daniel Jones, but have we seen anybody in the NFL fail up like Mitch Trubisky? I mean, have we seen it?
But come on,
Chase Daniel.
I'm just saying, man. The guy, I mean, wow. one year holding the clipboard for Josh Allen with Brian Daboll, and all of a sudden this guy's supposed to be the second coming. I'm not trying to disparage Mitch Trubisky. I think it'd be a great fit with the Giants because it's a head coach that knows him. It's a general manager that was a part of the regime that brought him in from Chicago to try to revive his career. He's going to be familiar with the offense. And from a skill set perspective, it's very similar to what Daniel Jones brings to the table. So in terms of what your offense looks like and how Brian Daboll calls plays, there wouldn't be much of a change, much of an adjustment for the rest of the guys on the offense if you go from Mitch Trubisky to Daniel Jones or vice versa. But this, in my mind, is a hedge against Daniel Jones. This is the bar to clear for Daniel Jones. If he can't beat out Mitch Trubisky for the starting job, then I think the Giants have their answer as to what their franchise quarterback is going to be. But this move also lets me know that the Giants have no intention of picking up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option. So this will be a true contract year for the former sixth overall pick.
Man, you hard on Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Key, where's the lotto? Where the lotto, Key? Help me out, man. What am I missing?
You're not missing anything.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Freddie. I appreciate it.
I got your back, brother. I got your back, Daddy. Always good to talk to you, Chris. Take care, my brother.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, see you.
Great stuff by Chris Candy, Super Bowl champion, also playing the NFL like Keyshawn Johnson, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. And despite what happened to the Philadelphia 76ers last night, many people believe that they're still going to get to the finals. Or do they?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.